Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, my name is Samuel Shea.
Hello, my name is Ethan Snyder.
Hey, I'm Dan Gerbang.
Julian O'Neill.
Ready? And what band are you in?
Warbler Jets.
You can do much. Come on. Come on. What do you need, a sync track, for Christ's sake?
Try it again. What band are you in?
Warbler Jets.
Much better. North Carolina, NYC, LA, Britpop, touring with an icon. See, we're done. There's nothing more to talk about. The conversation is over.
Yesterday, I climbed up to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge when I was walking over it.
No one ever asks us why we're always wearing black.
I'm not going to. See, I want to keep that intact. I already know the answer. It's called laundry.
I'm a huge football fanatic.
Being in two different bands with two different genres and then figuring out what the hell the focus is going to be of this band.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been in different bands. Some of us play with other artists as well. This is definitely a band that every member in this band is solely focused on this band. But that being said, you know, we're all musicians and play with other people and work with other people, work on different projects. Ultimately, everything comes back to this band, though.
So where was the moment that you said, and you probably didn't say this, but I'm going to say you said it. We're going to create a band that's going to out-Britpop the real thing.
The intention was never to out-Britpop anything. We'd never really strove to recreate anything like that. I mean, Sam and I had met in New York, and he was playing the final show with his old bands, which he didn't actually know at the time. And then we sort of, you know, he got fired / quit, and then I had quit, got / fired from another band that I was in. And we decided to do something.
You guys can't effing keep a job.
Yeah, so far we've kept this one, but we'll see how long it lasts. So we just decided to do something out on our own, and we knew what we liked, and you know where we were coming from, and you know it all just kind of like mishmashed together like that. The terminology, everyone just you know creates on their own. We never said anything like that.
What I do know about bands that actually do make it is that they figured out what the filter is. And that when they're writing, this is not the, oh, how do you write a song question?
I think the filter is the people in the band. If they come up with something that's a Warbly Jets song, there's a unique sound to the songwriters in this band. So then when it comes to the band, each person has a very distinctive voice on their instrument and what they create. So, you know, when a song comes to me, I'm the drummer. I hear it, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like something the guys would write, and then we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a process for, with as much as we write, because we are songwriters, me and Dan and Julian specifically, and we write a lot of different kinds of songs. We all have kind of an idea that's grown over time towards, like, what are Warbly Jets songs and what are not. For a while, that took a long time. That process of learning what the filter was took, you know, more than a year when Julian and I were initially firing up this project. Now it's something where I think we just kind of know, you know. We all work on songs individually and then also collectively, but most of the moments of, like, the great songs that we've written, I feel like, have been inspired by one individual's creation. And then it's like, you know, one or two of us hear it and we're like, oh, that's something that, like, I know will work in this way or whatever it is. Or, like, Julian will play a track and it's just like, damn, yeah, that's, like, that's ours for sure, you know?
I think the filter is each other at some point. You know, there's ideas that fit sort of in someone's head on their own. And you never fully know, like, how it's going to register with everybody else. And when you get something in a room that everyone connects to and is just like, yeah, that for sure. That's the filter.
Yeah, I mean, I first discovered the filter when I came upon a low pass. And then I eventually made my way to a band pass before getting to the high pass filter. And we just sort of like, you know, we throw a couple of those all together on the track. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of the sound.
Yeah, what about the okay, well, I'm going to go there. I'm going to throw this right back at you. What about the distort? We're going to get into production, which we understand whose name is on the production, but I'm not going to give it to you yet. And we're not going to talk about ultrasonic yet. See, there's something on here that's actually, I know, gotcha. I know what I'm doing here. I know how to pull somebody's leg really far. But what about the filter on the vocals and saying, okay, this record's going to be really loud, and the vocals are going to be a little bit of distortion in them. Where was the moment that you did come upon a sound, and this is not how it's produced yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've always thought that from the beginning we wanted to make a guitar record, and our favorite guitar records are always really loud. And with the vocal direction, it just sort of came upon really naturally that they would be sort of crunchy and distorted and warm and have really, you know, biting feeling to them. So they kind of like just get into you, you know.
It's listed in the thing that you did this in 450 studios, but then and then centered in 451 studios, but then centered in on Ultra in Los Angeles, Ultra Schmaltra, quote, self-produced. But self-produced also means you probably had a hell of a mixer. Am I correct?
Yeah,
so let's talk about that. Let's go like deep, man.
Yeah, we worked with my friend Claudius Mittendorfer, and I had worked with him on worked on records that he had worked on before.
He worked on a million famous records, so that way everybody can refer to it in the Pitchfork review.
He's worked on a lot of good records because he's a good engineer. Mixes really well. Yeah, it was great working with him. It was a pretty seamless process. I mean, I think we definitely had a pretty distinct sound by the time that it was over with everything we tracked, just given the gear that we used. It was very old gear. A lot of it was done on an Amec Angelina, which is an old Neve copy board and old Altec gear. So a lot of that blown out stuff that you're hearing and referring to comes from just a lot of stuff being blown out pretty intentionally, actually, to kind of have that crank it to 11 feel, you know?
And the thing that everybody asks, but I'm going to do a reverse engineer it. Okay. You said the, quote, reel-to-reel machine was broken, and that's why you used Pro Tools. Uh-huh. So is that really the truth, that you were planning on doing a bunch of bouncing and then just said, okay, but if we use the old gear, it really doesn't matter in the long run, which is true, by the way.
I wouldn't say that it doesn't matter. I love recording to tape. I love recording digitally as well. I think you can get different sounds in both circumstances. Ideally, I would like to dump everything to tape always, or just track it straight to tape and then dump it into Pro Tools.
So like you're in like the UK, and like you're a Britpop band, and like you're there, and like, and so like how do like the, you can tell I'm doing the blogger thing.
The UK reacted well. We had some really, really good shows out there.
Did they know you were a Britpop band?
Yeah, we made an announcement at the start of every show.
Oh, UK?
We're home.
Not
too much of that. Not too much of that. Yeah, I mean the British crowds were cool. We got to we were hanging out in London every week, and then we ran up north all the way up to Glasgow, played some shows, and went back down to some other places.
So you get the big tour, opening for the big guy, and then reality hits again, and you have to go back to the clubs, and you have to earn your keep. So are you up for all of this? Because, you know, it's great to play the big places and have the big crowds, but then you have to go back and earn it.
I think a lot of people don't realize how hard we've been working on a small scale and for how long we've been doing that. I mean, we've played close to, I believe, like 80 shows this year already. A lot of that was straight up the same thing we're doing now, which is driving around in our Econoline van and parking it behind Liam's four buses or whatever he has.
I saw the buses, yeah.
Yeah, and we're fully ready for that. It's an interesting time right now because at the end of our Europe tour, we got some shows with this band called Rival Sons up through Scandinavia, and they were opening for the Rolling Stones in Germany. So we played the shows in between when they were playing with the Stones. So we had like, we played four or five?
Four, right?
Four large scale, like big rooms, came back, played our record release in LA, and we're kind of ready to like take some time off, and then it's like, well, fuck this Liam Gallagher tour now. So we haven't really, to answer your question, I guess, to go back to the small rooms, yeah, we're stoked for it. I love playing to people. We care about people only. It's great when there's a lot of them. It's still great when there's only 200 or 300 of them. But right now, it's kind of like we just went from one big level that was the biggest level we had ever hit, and then immediately jumped to this, which is like, you know, Liam is obviously one of our heroes, so to have this opportunity is pretty insane.
Let's get really evil. Perception, reality. You, in a conversation, started talking about, and this was a quote, that 90% of bands come from money. Mm-hmm. and that you don't. It's not about the 1%. I'm more concerned about people understanding what you really mean when you're talking about that, because taken out of context, it could be taken in the wrong way.
I don't think it's a matter of envy or jealousy. I think it's just stating a fact. I mean, really, if you look at all of the people who become successful very quickly in music, a great majority of them grew up very wealthy or with a lot of support financially that a lot of people just don't have. And it seems like that's a gap that happened only recently. I feel like there's been a huge gap in music with the way that it's traveled in the last 15 years, where everyone is all of a sudden, you know, just getting one step ahead of the game because they have the financial means to do it. And we don't have that. We didn't have that when we started out. And, you know, everything that we do, we have to earn. And I feel like it's just not really, I feel like it's really taken for granted for somebody to actually earn their keep and prove that they belong where they are.
And putting out the record independently.
Yes.
There's a statement in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So did you talk to lots of labels?
Yeah, we talked to... Yeah, there were a lot that were interested. We talked to a decent amount of labels, for sure. I think, you know, as hard as we worked on the record, as hard as Julian and I worked on this band, and not to exclude Dan or Ethan, but, like, coming from where we came from of, like, remembering, like, and Ethan was even around in the band at this part. At this point, there wasn't really a band yet, but, you know, Julian and I were riding the B60 down Myrtle Avenue to go down, what was that road that we would take to get down to the Navy Yard? We had a studio in the Navy Yard at Waverly, yeah. And we would go all the way, ride the bus for, you know, 40 minutes every day. We'd meet up from Bushwick to go all the way down to South Brooklyn to go by Pratt. That's where we came from. I think that's something that we've closely held to our chest from the beginning, which is, like, we're creating this thing, you know, and we're creating a team of people. I think that the answer is really just about who you pick to be on your team. You know, we picked people that we trusted from the get-go. Everywhere from people in the band to our management to photographers to people doing PR stuff for us to people doing radio stuff for us. You know, we've really tried to build a team that we trust in and we know believes in what we're doing and the record and the material itself, not just... trying to take the work to pump it out and see what they can get about it, get out of it, you know, but someone that actually truly believes in the music as much as we do.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between. And